like this music. I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah, that was dope.
Oh God, I feel like the 80s and 90s were the best time.
Is that like a wooden box that goes dig dig, ka-ka? It's just a wooden box.
Yeah, it's like a wooden, like wooden version of a xylophone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So dope.
Have you heard of Zoo?
I've been to them, and then turns out they're not great. No, I mean, some of the animals they get sperm samples from, so they enjoy that.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Zoo. He is a music producer of Asian descent. I believe he's Chinese.
Really?
And he's really good. I love Zoo. It's spelled Z-H-U. And he has that song. I'm sure some of you guys have heard it. It goes like, touch me in the morning.
I sing that every day.
I only call when I'm alone.
I think there's my new ringtone.
It's so good. Anyway, I love Zoo.
Are you a singer? Do you sing?
I wish.
Well, that was good.
No.
I identified a melody. Some people are like,
no.
You know that song? It's like da 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 da, and you're just like, that's not.
I don't have a good voice, but I think because I did dancing for so long, like I understand rhythm and melody and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. You danced?
Yeah.
What did you do dancing wise?
All types. So from 3 to about 19. I think 19 I stopped completely, but I mostly excelled in ballet, but I did a lot of Armenian folk dancing, jazz, hip hop, all that.
Can you go on point?
Yes.
Now?
I was a point dancer.
Can you do it now? Not like for us, but.
Yeah.
Like if I gave you the right shoes.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I could do
that
it.
That freaks me out.
I have fantasies about being able to like find time in my schedule to train again because I loved it.
What a weird fantasy.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes I just close my eyes and picture going to class and training and having like some angry
you
Russian woman hit me with a switch to be
no.
like,
no, I didn't have an angry Russian trainer, but I remember for the longest time, it's hard to feel like you really get it. It's hard to feel like your body is where it needs to be and that you can do what you need to do. You can do enough pirouettes and all that stuff.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I watch Dance Moms.
And then when you get to a point, you feel that flow. It's kind of like hitting your stride if you're a runner, right? Once you feel it, and it's like it almost comes easy. It's like the best feeling. You feel like you're free.
Huh.
You feel like you're flying as you're dancing. It's like the most amazing thing.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's something I learned about you.
Mm-hmm.
I get freaked out by people who go on point because at that point, your foot is like, your leg is a perfect line.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But your heel is sticking out like it shouldn't be there. Like it's a straight line, and then your heel is just like this weird like tumor almost sticking out on the side. It
yeah.
freaks me out.
That's what the professional ballerinas look like. I don't think my legs look like that.
Gotcha.
Because you get to a when you're on a professional level, your body just looks insane. I don't
yeah.
know, but I never got to that level. Let's just keep it real.
Gotcha.
But I love ballet. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about Zoo, no, not Zoo.
Yeah. Marijuana debate.
Yes.
I don't remember, but like refresh me where we were.
Yes. Okay. So this was during the Current days. We actually met Brett at Current. He was also employed by the network.
Now I did know Mankiewicz mm-hmm. and Alonzo and Cenk and Achity. Cenk a little bit, but
through
the Rotten Tomatoes show
oh,
we did.
Yeah.
Mankiewicz was like a regular contributor to it. And so
that's right.
And then we'd go to screenings and see him, and Alonzo was on that show too.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd see an Achity, of course, because he the Rotten Tomatoes connection, but Cenk was there a couple times at like
yeah.
the Arclight.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
So that's my first interaction. But yeah, at Current, we were in the same building every day.
And I remember, you know, just being impressed by you and thinking that you were super smart, super funny, still think that about you. And then one day, I don't even know how the topic came up, but I brought up marijuana legalization. And then you had a super surprising take because it wasn't smart. And I thought you were super smart. So, okay. I of course have been a huge advocate of legalizing marijuana. And actually this was even before I started using it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that it was, the war on drugs was a failed policy and all these people had their lives destroyed because they were imprisoned for possession. And so I was like, we need to legalize it. And you said no.
Yeah.
You didn't say that you were against legalizing it, but you didn't think it was that big of a deal because if you wanted marijuana, you could get your hands on it. So what's the big deal?
Yeah. It was, I went through a phase of like practicality and selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that. That was like the ultimate embodiment of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just was like, listen, there are a lot of issues out there that affect a lot of people. For me, legalizing marijuana, I was saying in Los Angeles at the time, mm-hmm. this was a California thing, and it was after the point where we tried to vote on it the first go round, and it didn't pass
mm-hmm.
because they kind of found, oh, it's going to take a lot of extra work to motivate stoners to go do something.
Yeah.
But the district attorney and the police, they were already kind of going through this. The district attorney who has to kind of try these cases were just saying, like, we're not going to do petty possession. It's just too much of a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't seem like it was that much of a deal in Los Angeles. And to me, I was like, oh, God, I live in Venice. Everyone's trying to give me weed. And I could go in and Skype with a fake doctor and they'd be like, you do seem stressed. Go smoke a bowl on me.
Yeah, look, it is very easy to get your hands on marijuana. There's no question about that. And I think previously when we would have conversations, not we as in the two of us, but in general, when people would have conversations or debates about legalizing it, those who were not necessarily gung-ho about legalizing it thought that, oh, these people just want to get their hands on weed. They want to make it readily accessible just for recreational purposes. But there were so many negative ramifications of criminalizing marijuana. And as I pointed out, like so many lives were ruined
mm-hmm.
and so many, you know, business-minded people profited off the misery and the criminalization of people who just like to enjoy weed, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's where the disconnect came from. I think that you came from the school of thought, or at least from the idea that this is just about having access to weed, where for me, it was about more than that.
Yeah, and in terms of like the medical approach, I see a lot of like, you know, commercials about pharmaceuticals that have been okayed by the FDA that create a shit ton of negative side effects.
Yeah.
Like your butt's gonna fall out somehow, but.
Yeah.
So that is the point where it's just, me and I talked to some at least one psychiatrist who was like, yeah, I have no moral qualms with weed, but I do, you know, there is a certain psychosis study that needs to be done about people who use it a lot, and you end up with it has a relationship to psychosis, like a positive relationship to psychosis.
Right. So there have been some studies that indicated that if you have a predisposition to some mental health issues, marijuana could trigger it.
Right.
Right. So I totally agree. I mean, that kind of stuff we should look further into.
Right.
And I don't think that marijuana is harmless. And also, it's kind of miraculous because study after study shows that if you smoke it, it's not going to lead to lung cancer. I can't believe that that's the case.
Yeah, I can't wrap my head around that
because
one either.
Every time I do smoke it, I'm just like, oh, this is so bad for my lungs, but I really like it, so I don't care.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
Thinking about the lungs, like, then what is my next argument? It's going to be, but cigarettes do cause lung cancer.
They do.
And they are legal.
They are legal, exactly.
And there's a psychotropic element. There's a, you know, you are under the influence of marijuana. When you smoke marijuana, it gets you high.
Mm-hmm.
And of the ways we treat similar substances is to put an age restriction on it. So we hope that children get to a certain point where they, by and large, and you have to just draw the line somewhere, are thought to be capable of handling that kind of consequence.
And every state that has legalized it, of course, regulates it. We're not saying a blanket legalization and it's a free for all. No, I don't want kids using it.
But wouldn't that be funny? Like when your parents gave you a beer just to see what it mm-hmm. would be like.
Mm-hmm.
It would be funny to see like my niece on just a little high.
No, it wouldn't be funny. I think they'd pan. I remember the first.
What if they're already high?
They might be. They might be.
I don't know.
But I don't mind adults doing it. Don't want kids doing it. And also, you know, just this is anecdotal. It's based on personal experience. Look, I don't need it in any medicinal way whatsoever now, but I certainly fucking needed it last year, right? I mean, I was a mess last year. Like the anxiety, the stress. I mean, I hope I never have to go through that level of emotional distress again, but it was a hard year.
Right.
And so that was the only thing that would, I was always wound up, always tense. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't think.
Impossible to be around that kind of stuff.
It was bad. Yeah, it was bad. It's true.
Really?
Yeah.
What changed? How come you're so much nicer now?
I think, well, I went to therapy.
What did they unlock in you?
I had anger issues. I mean, I kind of still do, but I had.
Yeah.
So that was one of the biggest things. Like, I had to find a way to deal with that. And then anxiety, like, I'd have anxiety attacks regularly, including one huge anxiety attack at my bridal shower.
See, that's what my instinct was like, so you were planning a wedding last year.
That was part of it, though. Like, planning a wedding was horrible. And so that was part of it. But it was that, it was the election, it was Alex Jones and everything that happened at the RNC. It was a lot of stuff, like just my mom had her kidney transplant last year. It was just the most stressful, overwhelming year of my life. And I didn't know how to cope with all the emotions that kept coming up.
And so therapy, when I talk to therapists, they just kind of say, you have to find a way to frame it all in your head where it kind of is easier to handle, as opposed to denying. It all just kind of builds up into one cloud. And the thing is, this job, I would imagine, there have been studies that like say, if you do a job where you even healthily seemingly have to express your anger, it'll put you in a pattern of feeling that way about everything. And this year, I mean, this year's been worse for me because it just seems like every day's news cycle.
It's so depressing.
It just kind of blends in and it all seems the same. And it's just this wall of terrible. And it's gotten harder with like these Facebook lives. It's gotten harder to find, like, I don't want to do the rants. I don't want to do the screeds. I don't want to give hate pills to people to take.
I know.
Somehow.
I know.
And it is. It's masturbation and it's scornography. And that's like a new way people use the internet just to find
that.
This little way to go off and lock themselves in a room and be like, yeah, I do fucking hate that person.
Yeah.
But studies say that doesn't help.
It doesn't help.
It is nice to kind of just express yourself on a rooftop. But if that becomes a pattern where it's just negativity, anger, resentment, I don't think it helps. So I'm trying to write like these comedic pieces. And
do you, boo?
It's just hard. It's hard to find the stories.
Oh my God. Okay. So I love that you're bringing this up because I'm struggling as well. So Facebook Originals is a relatively new thing that some of us in the company are doing. And I love Facebook Originals because it's highly produced. I do my, you know, we do our own writing. We get to pick a topic that we're passionate about. But there's also one big downside. You want your video to do well, and things that get shared are like takedown videos.
Yeah.
And it makes me so mad that like a video about an important topic that isn't about taking someone down or giving someone that hate pill just isn't going to do as well. It's not going to get as many shares. And so you're so right about that. But you know what I realized? Fuck it. Like, you got to do what you love to do. You have to do work that you're proud of.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to continue focusing on the topics that I actually care about. And if they do well, cool. If they don't, they don't. You know, it is what it is. At least it's something that I can reflect back on and say, hey, there's a piece of work that will exist forever that I can feel proud of.
Yeah, or exist until we take it down. And we can do that too if you don't really like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's one Facebook original you're proud of that you did recently?
I really like the latest one I did about O'Reilly and how like Fox just said that they would investigate this whole situation. And so,
just now, like after so long.
After so long.
What are you
long.
Investigating? You paid out $13 million. Like, you didn't investigate why you were doing that?
Exactly. And then actually, the one that I'm most proud of has to do with student loan debt and how Trump's administration, by the way, Betsy DeVos just recently undid some protections for borrowers. But Trump's administration had already reversed some of those protections through an executive order. And so I love that video, but that one did not do well because it had too many statistics. It was too wonky, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Whatever, I don't care. I loved it, so it is
great. Yeah, it's tough. I wonder how, if you lift up the curtain under Facebook and what they bubble up. I mean, I'm not the only one to wonder this, but I wonder what all those factors are.
Yeah. By the way, comedic writing is so difficult. Like, I try to make it entertaining and funny, but I'm not a funny person. So,
sweetheart.
I'm not. I'm too serious. So, I try to be funny, and I feel like for you, it kind of comes naturally. So
for me, the other trade-off is people don't know when I'm serious. That's literally what my last name means in German. Are you kidding? That's what it means.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing.
You go like, it means honest, but people say like, really, seriously, honestly, ehrlich, ehrlich. Yeah, that's what it means.
That's amazing.
And my girlfriend's like, I don't know when you're ever being serious. So there's not exactly all roses when you're trying to be funny. And then sometimes you're just not. Mm-hmm. And then when you're serious, as long as you have like good, well-researched points, no one's, you know, you're not just running out on a limb so much because you're putting yourself out there when you tell a joke or try to make one. And I don't know. There's one that I did about Sean Spicer that's coming out that I invoke some, I don't know, I'm Jewish-ish. And we'll see how people respond to that one Hitler and Passover and all that stuff. And then I'm going to do another one just about Easter. Because I went to a Catholic school and was referred to as like our Jewish friends. I just all the things that are weird about Easter. But people kind of look for. I don't know. I don't know what else to do. It's just like I don't want to do another one that's like Trump sucks. Good morning. How do you, with like school student loan debt, how do you do, like how comfortable are you with kind of repeating yourself time and time again? Like that's what it feels like for me. It's like, oh, this is that issue, marijuana, legalizing it. Here's all the reasons why we should. I don't know why we haven't yet.
Well,
what new do I say?
With student loan, with anything related to education, I don't get tired of talking about it, even if it seems repetitive, because I genuinely care, which by the way is, I don't even know why I care. Okay, and don't take this the wrong way. Just hear me out. I don't know why I'm so passionate about it because I don't have anything to gain out of reforms, right? Like I'm done with school. I'm never going back. Like I have my graduate degree.
Yeah.
I have no student loan debt. None. Zero. I was very, 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 very lucky. I had scholarships for undergrad and then graduate school, you know, I made my way, you know, and it was fine. But those days are over, you know, and I don't know why I get so worked up. I don't know why I care so much, but I do. I really fucking care. And it makes me so angry. So I never get tired of that. But the news cycle itself is repetitive. And sometimes I get so tired of it, like the recycled stories. The stories are recycled more than most people realize. And so some mornings I spend hours, I wake up early, like look through the news and try to pick stories that I think will be interesting for the audience. Sometimes I spend way too long, hours trying to pick stories because I'm like, I'm bored with this, I'm bored with that.
Yeah.
And during our production meetings recently, since Cenk's gone, we want to shake things up a little bit and do things that are different because we have more say, right? And so, by the way, he gives us a lot of flexibility as well. But we're like, okay, let's switch things up. Let's do a story that we typically wouldn't do. And I love that because I'm tired of the Trump stories too.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's our president. We have to cover him. But I think that there's a lot of other things happening in the world. Like, I love that we did the story in Venezuela this week and the protests. It's important. But yeah, the news cycle itself is super repetitive.
Yeah, and it is. It's tough. Especially on TV. So a lot of people here don't watch CNN and MSNBC. I do.
I do too, yeah.
All the time. And that is, and having worked in kind of like a news show before this, you just see how easy it is to be like, all right, what did Morning Joe say? What is that sound from that clip this morning that was the easiest thing to do that we already have like a stack of B-roll to cover when we do interviews?
I'm never curious about what Morning Joe said.
But they do it because it's like the first show on in the morning.
Right.
And it is the first interviews. And then they wait for the presser, and pressers this time around have been more entertaining and have created more like identifiable clips. So they just keep going, but it is tough. I don't know how to deal with the numbness. That's what I feel is just totally numb.
Do you, this is a super personal question. You don't have to answer it. Do you feel like you're doing what you want to do with your life, like your career and all that? Or do you feel like you fell into it and you're just like, I don't know, let's keep going?
I do like it because it's better than actually working. Like it is bullshitting. It's my opinion on stuff and ideas I come up with. And that's better than other things, which are like I talked to some friends who were in finance. I talked to a guy who lived in New York and was quit his job in finance to move to try to move to San Francisco. And the amount of time that you spend, like he worked in finance and he said like that. The things he would do was either invest a lot of time and energy trying to find what company should be bought, analyzing their financial data, and then weighing that risk against just a lot of bullshit little transactions to charge fees to their customers. And he's just like, I did it for so many hours. And if you think like, I like to think of, I mean, sometimes it makes me happy and sometimes it makes me feel sad, but if you think of your life as like an hourglass, just the top of an hourglass, and it's filled with as much sand as it will take your entire life to pass through.
God, this is gonna depress
okay?
me.
And then you have little labels of mounds of sand. And so it's always running, but if it's over here on like, you're doing analyst work, and the amount of sand you then physically would see pile up, and over here is like writing that poem I wanted to write is like, or whatever, what creative outlet and spending time with my family. Like I, right now, my things are like coming up with fun things to say, doing research, and that's it. That's one. The other is Candy Crush because I play a lot of it. And then it's like coming up with ideas for new projects and pitching those. And like last year we did a show on Fox Daytime, and that was a cool pile that we invested time in. And I mean, things that you hope go somewhere, like we did I did Nerdist News, like a pilot for that on Sci-Fi, just a pilot, didn't go anywhere, but that was fun. And like, yeah, and then over the course of a creative job like this, you meet people. Like I did a thing with Marvel, and that was a cool pile. And the people from that pile went and started their own pile, and then they have me go join time with them. So it's like, I don't know. I like that way of looking at life. As, even though sometimes you're like, oh shit, that Candy Crush pile is so big and such a waste of time.
But I don't see it that way because it's funny. Like, okay, if I think about my, what is that thing called again? The thing with the sand?
Hourglass.
Hourglass. Wow. Okay. If I think about my hourglass, it's, okay, let me give you some context before I say what I want to say. So next week, this trip totally crept up on me. Creeped up on
yeah,
me?
Yeah, you got it crept.
Yeah. So I'm going to vacation with my family. And I have only vacationed with my mom and dad once in my entire life.
What?
Yes, like a real vacation. We went to Hawaii back in 2008. And that was the first time because my parents, like my immigrant parents were always so poor and working so hard, we didn't have the money to go on vacation. So by the time 2008 hit, you know, I'm working, my dad pays off his properties or at least one of them or something. I don't even know, but he's in a better position. We can vacation. We go to Hawaii, but in 2008, I was a little shit. So I didn't even really appreciate that time with them. And so now we're going to Cancun. And during the meeting today, I realized that it's next week and I was like, fuck, I don't want to go because things are so busy, like work is so busy right now. And I have so much going on and I feel like I'm hitting my stride and I'm feeling good about it, right? And then I just realized something as you were talking about the hourglass. My pile, like the majority of my pile is work related. And so why do we work? We work so we can actually enjoy those personal moments with family. Part of it.
Part of it. Because also, I mean, it seems like sadistically or not, you have a relationship with your job where like you say no to other stuff because you want to keep doing this.
That's true, yeah.
You know.
And I have to find a better balance because this week especially, like time doing things other than work has been minimal. And that's not healthy either.
Another thing about traveling. When I worked for Current, and before that I worked for a talent agency. I didn't take a damn vacation for years because I was like, it was a good job. Talent agency wasn't, but like working at Current was a good creative job. And I was always kind of afraid that if I left, something would happen without me.
Yeah, everyone has that
fear.
But
it doesn't. I mean, even if it does, like, who cares? It is really great. And once you take that trip, you'll have that experience and you'll just be like, whoa, this is awesome.
I know, and I want to have that experience with my parents now that I'm older and I can actually appreciate, you know, spending quality time with them in a different country.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Have a great time.
Thank
Cancun's
you.
Great. Go to Isla de las Mujeres and
yeah.
get a
I went there golf for my I went there for my honeymoon, but the reason why we're going back is because Cancun is so easy.
Yeah.
The reason I mean, it's relatively affordable compared to other places, and also it's like it's only a 5-hour flight. And then you don't have to like get in a car and drive for 2 hours to get to your resort. It's only 10 minutes from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so
All
easy. That's why I was like, I'm going to be with my parents. They're much older. Like my dad's in his 70s. Let's keep it simple. You
yeah.
know? Anyway. All right. Thank you for watching, guys. Thanks for joining, Brett.
Hey, thank you. Always a pleasure.
You're the best. I like when you do the show. And I feel like yeah. you don't do it often enough.
Thank you.
All right, guys, if you are a member, and of course you are because you're watching this, we will have a TYT Classics. It's not ever live. It's always taped, but it will be in the archive. So check that out, and we will see you soon.